Again, good morning. And this morning, we do come together to really out of thanks for what God has done for us. We come this morning in thanks for the sacrifice that Jesus made. And you know, this morning we come together here and in churches all over the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, family, the family of Christ comes together to do one thing, to celebrate the risen King, the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, that is a glorious thing. But you also need to know this. In those churches all around the world, and even here in this church, there are people who enter a church today and are there for no other reason that they know it's Easter, and that's where they should be on church, on Easter, is in church. Some are there because of family obligations. They feel that it would somehow honor a family member for being there. Someone asked them, hey, would you go to church with me today? And so they're there because of that very reason. And if that's you today, I'm glad you're here. You know, I've been there. When I was away from God for years and years and years, my grandmother would ask me to go to church, and out of love for her, out of not wanting to disappoint her, I would go. But you know, to be perfectly honest, that wasn't the only reason that I went, because I knew if I didn't go, she would begin to question me as to where I was spiritually. And it was easier sometimes to just go with her than to answer that question. Because I knew where I was. See, even when I wasn't in church, I knew there was something that was drawing me, something that was pulling me, something that was calling me there. But I just would dismiss it and ignore it. So if that's you today, if you're here because maybe you're here because of a family member that's not even with us anymore, but you're in church today because you somehow feel that it will bring honor to them, I say welcome. I'm glad you're here today. In churches all around the world, and maybe even here in this church, some people are in church today out of a religious obligation. They feel, well, it's Easter. I got to go to church. Some people feel that they've got to pay their way by attending a church service on Easter Sunday. I've been there before, too. I get it. You know, I can remember after years of being away from God, I came to a point where I came to a realization, even though it was a wrong realization, I came to a realization that I needed religion. So we went out and got some. And we religiously went every Sunday. And I can even remember talking during that time with my wife, talking about meeting our obligation. You see, if we went to church during the week, it didn't count. You know, even though you were there worshiping God or whatever, you actually had to go on Saturday or Sunday to meet that obligation. That may be some of you today. You may be here today simply because you feel you need to meet some kind of religious obligation. And if that's you, I say welcome. Because today, my prayer is not that you would have a religious experience out of some religious obligation, but today that you would encounter a living King, a living God. That's my prayer for you today. Some of you may be here because you're at the end of your rope. Some of you may be here today and say, I don't know where else to turn. Some of you may be here today and say, I've tried everything else. Maybe I'll go ahead and give this Jesus thing one try. And if that's you today, I say welcome. Because I believe that He will meet with you here today. I believe that He has a word for you today. This morning, you may be here and you have no idea why you're here. Let me just tell you, I know why you're here. Because there is one who walked out of a grave 2,000 years ago to be with you today in this moment, and he wants to speak to you. Listen, I just want you for the next little bit. I know it's Easter Sunday, and everybody's got someplace to go, but the reason for the day is Jesus Christ. So if you can hang with me for just a little bit, I promise to get you out of here at a reasonable time, and I promise God will speak to you today, but you need to stay engaged with me for just the next little bit. And Chris, can you do something that's getting kind of cold in here? Anyone cold? No, just me? Okay. All right. Listen. I know some of you are like, what are you doing? And I'm looking at two of them right now. They're like, I'm burning up. Sorry, I'm freezing up here. I don't know why. Wow, let's get back onto this message or we won't ever get out of here. This morning, I pray that God just meets with you in an incredible way and that you realize when you walk out of here that you can have real joy in him, that he has something so much more for you than the world has to offer. This morning, we celebrate a risen king. He walked out of a grave to be with you. Death could not hold him. The ground could not keep him. And if you would open your heart to him and what he wants to do, he wants to speak to you today. 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth, took a lowly position, so that no matter where you were, no matter how high you were, no matter how low you were, he would be able to meet with you right where you are. You see, Jesus came down to earth. He was born in a manger. Why was he born in a manger? Because he came to the lowest of lows. He knows where you're at. If you're in that low place today, if you're in that dark place today, he can see you right where you're at. And he is here to speak to you this morning. And I think he's paid a high enough price and he's earned your attention today. If you've got your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Father, we thank you for your word this morning, God. We thank you for the truth that it is. We thank you that is full of promise. We thank you that it's full of life, God. And I pray right now that your word pierces through the darkness, God. I pray right now that your word speaks to our very hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to call particular attention to a verse there. And it says in chapter 5, "In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But listen, this is what the men said to them. Why do you look for the living among the dead?" My question for you this morning, those who are here out of a family obligation, those who are here out of a religious obligation, those who are here who believe they're at the very end of their rope, I ask this question: how long will you search for the living among the dead? You see, because I believe that's what so many of us are doing. We're searching for life among the dead. We're searching for life in things of this world, and we're never going to find it. Today, there are those of you in here who feel completely empty inside. you feel there is no hope for you. Can I tell you, if you look to that empty tomb, you will find hope. Because there is a man who walked out of that tomb who lives today. We call him Jesus Christ, and he is full of hope.
Amen.
You see, it's because no one was found in the tomb that we have hope today. The hope is alive and well, and he is here to meet with you this morning. You see, when you get to know this Jesus, there's a joy like no other. It's a joy that's everlasting. It's a joy that no one can take from you. It's a joy that will not go away. In the darkest of nights, in the worst moments of life, when you feel like there is nothing but death surrounding you, you can still have joy. Because he is joy. He is peace. He is comfort. He is strength. Before Jesus ever went to the cross, he spoke to his disciples the night before, and he talked to them about this joy that they would have. If you've got your Bible still, open them back up. Turn to John chapter 16. Beginning in verse 16. John 16, 16. This is before Jesus was crucified. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? And because I am going to the Father." They kept asking, "What does this mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." Sorry, I lost my spot there. Let's back up one moment. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgot the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. Church, you need to hear these words this morning. You need to hear them loud and clear. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to you today. Listen, you cannot hear those as simply words that I am speaking, not simply words that I am reading, not even simply words that Jesus was speaking to the disciples the night before he was killed. You need to hear them as if he was speaking to you at this very moment, because that is what he's doing. The Word of God is living, breathing, and it speaks to us today just the same as when the words were first spoken 2,000 years ago. You need to hear it today. He is speaking to you, and he is saying, "You will rejoice when you see me. And no one will take your joy from you." Here in this passage, Jesus is speaking about his death and the joy that would come as a result of the disciples seeing him again. And listen, that joy, the joy that the disciples had, that joy that came after the resurrection, is the same joy that he offers to you today. That's the same joy that is available to you today. Jesus knew that they were going to face pain and sorrow. He knew what was coming. He said, "For a little while, you will have sorrow, but you will see me again, and you will rejoice." The problem is, today, too many people are looking to things of this world to find joy. They're looking from this to that. And I love the way that this quote from Draper's Book of Quotations reads. It says this: "Much of our activity these days is nothing more than a cheap anesthetic to deaden the pain of an empty life." I just don't understand why people continue to try to put band-aids on things that are already dead. We look to find life in things there is no life. Listen, let those things die. Let a new life spring forth. The disciples, their sorrow lasted only a couple of days, but some of you here today have been living a lifetime of sorrow. And today Jesus is saying, "I have a joy for you that will complete you. I have a joy that will make your joy complete. It is lacking in nothing. It is everything you could ever want or need. And I have it for you." Back in verse 21, Jesus compares what is about to happen to him and to the disciples to that of a woman giving birth. He said this: "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world." He's saying to his disciples there, there is going to be pain, but take heart, because the joy is going to be so great, you're going to forget all the pain of the past. It's going to be the same as that joy after childbirth of when that baby is laid on that mother's chest. The woman forgets all of that pain because the joy is so great at that moment. That's what Jesus is saying to them. You see, when we read the Bible, we know what he's talking about there. But you got to understand that this is happening in real time to the disciples. We know how it goes. We know the story. When you read the Word of God, though, you've got to read it as if it was happening right then. We're like, man, why can't they just get it? Don't they know what's going on? Jesus is trying to be just as plain and clear to them as he can. But we need to understand where they were at. And he's trying to let them know, look, there will be pain and there will be sorrow, but the joy that's coming is great. One day you will have that joy, and it will not be that long from now. He says you will rejoice. Second, he said something there in this passage there in verse 22, I believe it was, that was kind of the flip side of what he had said earlier. Because earlier he had said, "You will see me." And now here down farther he says, "I will see you and you will rejoice." What he's trying to tell them right then is, yes, I'm going to go to the cross. Yes, I'm going to go to the grave. But I will rise again and I will come looking for you. I will seek you out, and when I see you, you will rejoice. And that's what you need to hear today. God is seeking you out. He's looking for you, and he wants to meet with you. And when you see him and he sees you, there's going to be incredible joy. Amen. And you need to understand that. The third thing he says there in that passage is the best thing, though. Because he says, your joy will never be taken from you. He's saying here, I have overcome death, I've overcome the grave, and the joy that I bring cannot be taken from you. It cannot be stopped by death, it cannot be stopped by the grave. It will be with you forever. And it was just as he said in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, this is on the very first Easter Sunday, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Happened just like he said it would. It's great that they rejoiced. It's great that they saw him. But it's even better that he said that joy cannot be taken from you. We got to understand that. We've got to understand the fact that God has a joy for us that cannot be taken from us. And the same joy that Jesus was telling the disciples about 2,000 years ago is the same joy that you have available to you today. It's a complete joy, lacking in nothing, everything you could ever need or everything you could ever want. The things of this world will never fill that void inside. But because of an empty tomb, you can have this everlasting, rock-solid joy that cannot be lost and it cannot be taken. It doesn't matter if your whole entire world comes crashing down around you. You can still have a joy that will not disappear. It will not go away. It will not leave you. It will not forsake you. It will not be lost. No one can take your joy if you are in him. Jesus tells us himself in John 15. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." In verse 4, he says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Then, in verse 11, he says, "I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Church, you need to understand that Jesus is alive. He's not in some grave over in Israel outside of Jerusalem. He is alive. He walked out of that grave 2,000 years ago, and he walked out of that grave for this moment. He walked out of that grave so that he could be here today. You need to understand, this appointment was made 2,000 years ago. This moment right here, he left early 2,000 years ago so that he would not be late, because he wanted to meet with you today here in this place. These words this morning that we read, where Jesus says, "And this joy will not be taken from you," that is a promise to those who are in him. Those words are a guarantee for those of us who call him friend. Those words spoken this morning are to those who like being with Jesus. But listen, if I say these words that Jesus spoke, "I will see you and your heart will rejoice," and your heart is not rejoicing this morning, then please hear me on this. That is an invitation to you. I say that because your joy is not yet in him. You see, if your joy was in him, when I read those words, you would rejoice. Because you understand what that means. You understand what is wrapped up in that. If your joy is not in him, you will have moments of joy in this life. But hear me on this. They will not last. They will come and they will go, but they are not eternal. So many people search for joy in thing after thing after thing, in things of this world, and they're never going to find a lasting joy. Again, I will say what I read earlier. It's nothing more than a cheap anesthetic to deaden the pain of an empty life. People look to things of this world to just for a moment of escape. But there is no joy in those things. There is no joy. The promise that he offers is to those who love him, to those who are in him. It is a promise. Your joy will not leave you. This morning he stands at the door and he knocks. The question is, will you respond to his invitation? Church, if you don't enjoy Jesus, your joy will be taken from you. Look back at verse 16:22 for just a moment. He says, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. Why would their heart rejoice? What was it that would make their heart rejoice? The disciples were friends of Jesus. He had died, he had risen, and that was their friend. They loved him. They wanted to be around him. And when they saw him, they were going to rejoice. That is the relationship he wants to have with you today. You understand, their joy couldn't leave because they could not kill him. They tried it. The ground couldn't hold him. Death couldn't keep him. You got to understand, he is alive and well today in the year 2013, and he will be alive in the year 2113 and 2213 and forever and ever and ever. He is eternal. He could not stay in the grave. He had a mission. He had a plan. He had an appointment to be here with you this morning. The grave was not going to keep him. We read in John 20, when he arrived in the home, it said, they were there with the doors locked and in fear. And what did he say? Peace be with you. Do you guys understand what that really means? It's not just a simple saying. Literally, he was saying, peace is here with you right now, right here. I am peace, and I am here in your midst. And that is what he's saying to you today. Peace be with you. I am here with you this morning. Joy is what I bring. Peace is what I bring. Comfort is what I bring. Strength is what I bring. Blessings is what I bring. I am here for you this morning, and my joy will make you complete. He's here today, and he's calling out to you. Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You can have peace even though chaos is going all around. Even though your world seems to be in complete turmoil. Even though your world seems to be completely upside down. Hear me on this. He has joy for you. He has peace for you. Stop trying to look for the living among the dead. You aren't going to find it in your job. You're not going to find it in your bank account. You're not going to find it in your retirement fund. You're not going to find it in a boat, a car, or your home. You will not find it in your favorite sports team. You won't find it in a drug. You won't find it in alcohol. You won't find it in sex. You won't find it in your family. And believe me, you won't even find it in your church. It is only in Jesus Christ that you will have the joy that I'm talking about this morning. None of those things will ever bring you the peace and joy that he has to offer. The joy that he has will last forever. He has beaten death. He laid down his life, and hear me on this, he took it up again. He took it up again. And in that, there is power. That is the same power that is available to you today. You see, he can say, my joy will not leave you. My joy is forever, because he's beaten death. He's overcome the grave. He has the keys to the grave in his hand. And he says to you this morning, my joy is here and available for you. He's saying to you this morning, I will be your joy. I will be your peace. I will be everything you could ever want. And nothing will take my joy or my love from you. Romans 8 tells us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's saying to you this morning, as long as I'm alive, your joy will not be taken from you. Can I just tell you something? As long as he's alive means forever. forever. His joy will not be taken from you. And because he has beaten death, even your own physical death, your joy goes beyond that. Even your own physical death can't take your joy. It's eternal. Please hear me on this morning. Do not settle for what the world has to offer. There is so much more for you. So much more. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." He's saying to you this morning, because I live, you also will live. He's saying to you this morning the same words that he spoke to Martha at Lazarus' tomb. He's saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Please hear me on this morning. If Jesus is not your joy, he wants to be. He's traveled a long way over a long period of time to get here, to be here in this moment. It was 2,000 years ago on that first Easter morning, he walked out of a tomb, leaving death behind, leaving it empty, so this morning he could meet with you. This morning he wants to be your joy. Church, this morning he wants to be your peace. He wants to be your comfort. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your provision. He wants to be your everything. Church, you got to hear me. This morning he wants to be your Lord and Savior. The price has been paid. Won't you answer? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. Right now, in this very moment, I pray that your word has pierced the very hearts of the people. God, I pray in this moment that you will do what only you can do. God, in this moment, that there would be people here that would understand, maybe for the first time in all their life, that they can have peace, that they can have joy, a lasting joy that will not fade away, that will not disappear, that cannot be taken from them. I pray right now that you're speaking to your people. Speak to their hearts. In this place right now, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, I ask a question. As I spoke this morning, if you could not say that you have the joy of the Lord, if you are not able to say that the joy of the Lord is your strength, today can be that day. This morning, I'm not going to call any of you all up front. I'm not going to embarrass you, but what I want to do in this moment is to make sure that I give you the opportunity to respond. He stands at the door and knocks. Won't you let him in? If this morning you would say, "Pastor Todd, I'm ready to respond. I need that joy that you're talking about. My life has gone to hell and I don't know what to do." I can tell you right now in this moment, he is here for you. He will bring a peace that goes beyond understanding. He will bring a comfort that cannot be explained. He will bring a joy that's everlasting. This morning, if that's you, I want to pray for you.